What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, Drew Brees hasn't officially retired, and a new workout video has some second-guessing if he actually will retire this offseason. One of the captions on the video said, quote, "Something must be brewing," which has only fueled the speculation that the 42-year-old QB may not be done yet. So, Shannon, could you see Brees taking the Brady path to another team here?
Hell no. Drew Brees is just doing this to stay in shape. And a lot of not enough guys do that, Skip. Once they retire, they maintain the same eating habits, but they don't maintain the same workout schedule. And we see them allow themselves to get overweight and to have a multitude of diseases and end up having a lot of different surgeries and a lot of physical ailments. I think Drew Brees is doing this to get just to maintain a level of fitness. Skip, I saw the last three playoff games. I don't know if you saw them, but we saw Drew Brees not play well against the Rams. We can talk about the blown call all we want to. Drew Brees did not play well. We saw the home loss against the Minnesota Vikings. Drew Brees did not play well. And then we saw the last time in the divisional round, Drew Brees was god-awful. He was terrible. So it's over. It is over. Don't show me a quarterback pushing a sled. Show me a 42-year-old quarterback throwing the deep out. Show me him throwing the comeback. Skip, I don't want to see Usain Bolt shooting a basketball and say, oh, yeah, he coming back and running the 2021 Japan Olympics. No. Skip, it's over. Let it go. Drew, there's nothing else you could accomplish. Nothing else is going to give you validation. You got five 5,000-yard passing seasons. You've been a Super Bowl MVP. You're one of the great, great quarterbacks, one of the great, great players in history. Let it go because we saw your last outing. That's it. And what we see in the playoffs, Skip, the playoffs, they're getting worse and worse every year. It was bad against the Rams. It was a little worse against Minnesota. And he just stepped off a cliff against Tampa. Skip, we saw that. Where is he going to go that have the level of talent that he would be leaving behind? Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Jerry Cook, don't know if they're resigning. Offensive line solid. Alvin Kamara, Murray. A defense that, where is he going to go that's better than what he has it? Hell, Sean Payton goes like, nah, bro, you're not coming back here. Nah, we can't have that. No, Skip, it's over. Let it go, Drew.
The only point I agree.
Continue to work out and stay in shape.
Yeah, I agree. Sean Payton wants to cut bait. He wants to start over. I assume it's with Jameis. Yeah. It could be with Taysom Hill. It could be a combination thereof. But I'm sorry, I saw too much good from Drew Brees during the regular season last year to say he should go home and stay home. Because, Shannon, regular season last year, he completed 71% of his passes. It was 70.5. Aaron Rodgers led the league at 70.7% completion. Well, I don't know anybody who can throw those mid-range darts any better than Drew Brees can still throw them. He's obviously turned 42 in January. But last year he was 24 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. Well, let's just do a hypothetical. They're about to play quarterback roulette in the National Football League. They're about to play musical chairs, and that includes the draft. Well, some team out there will get left without a quarterback, at least for the next year. Wouldn't some team take a shot with, you know, if they don't have a young quarterback, or maybe they draft a Trey Lance and he's just too young to start? Wouldn't you want Drew Brees to be a bridge to Trey Lance potentially? Now, if yeah. Belichick drafts Trey Lance, then maybe you'd want to keep Cam there. But if barring that, if you're Belichick, would you rather have Cam or Drew Brees for 1 year next year? Help me out on that.
Skip, Drew can't push the ball down the field.
Well, neither can Cam.
The question is, Skip, but think about, okay, Skip, you say he played too well. What have you seen in the playoffs? That's the way we measure great quarterbacks,
okay.
Especially once you reach a certain level. What have you seen the last three playoff games from Drew Brees?
Okay, I got it. Can't defend it, won't even try to defend it. But I did see Drew Brees last year twice outplay Tom Brady head-to-head and win the division. He led that team to a division championship, and he had Michael Thomas for, what, 7 total games, and Michael Thomas never looked like Michael Thomas the whole year. So I thought he was very good by regular season standards. He was better than a lot of other quarterbacks I saw during the regular season. Yeah. As you know, it's hard to find one.
But, Skip, that's not how we measure quarterbacks, the Drew Breeses, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady, the Patrick Mahomes. That's not how we measure them, because we know they've been great in the regular season. Now it comes time where you get your legendary status. And what we've seen over the last 3 years from Drew Brees come playoff time has been he's left a lot to be desired. Skip, Tom Brady did not leave New England because they were loaded with talent. It's just the opposite. He left because they had none. And Clyde Christensen, we talk about this, Skip, is that he says, hell, he saw what Peyton did. Well, Peyton went to a loaded team, Skip, like you said. Now, they were 8-8. They won the division. But he inherited Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Eric Decker, Ryan Clady, who was a Pro Bowl left tackle. Offensive line was solid. No Sean Marino. They got Wes Welker free agency. And then you had Von Miller. You had Chris Harris Jr. They were loaded defensively. Malik Jackson, Derek Wolfe, Drannan Trevathan, Brandon Marshall. Skip, they were loaded.
Okay.
Just like Tampa.
All right. So who's to say that Drew couldn't find a situation comparable to that in need of a one-year bridge quarterback? I don't know. Nobody saw Tom going to Tampa. And by the way, weren't you the guy who told me again and again right here on this show that Tom Brady was pathetic in his final playoff game? Or trust him in a playoff game again?
Skip, but here's the thing. If Drew Brees is going to find a situation comparable to what Brady inherited in Tampa or what Peyton inherited in Denver, okay, I wish him all the best of luck. Because then you're going to have guys that can pick up the slack. Skip, I just don't see it. Tom arm never looked like, even at Tom's worst, his arm never looked like Brees' arm has looked at moments in time this year. If you take Tom Brady at his absolute worst, it has never looked like Brees' arm this year.
And again, Tom Brady led the National Football League this past season in air distance thrown. And he led the National Football League in 20-plus yard completions with 36. Well, Cam struggled. Again, cupboards bare, same basically group of receivers Brady couldn't work with in New England. But Cam... Right. Remember, his QBR last year was 30 of 33 qualified quarterbacks, and his air distance ranked 26th in the league last year because Cam was having a hard time throwing it downfield.
Well, but here's the thing, though, Skip. In that offense, Tom Brady air distance, if we probably go back and look at it, he probably ranked somewhere in the middle of the pack because in that offense, Skip, you know, you don't push the ball down the field. Everything is screens. Everything is shallow crosses. Everything, you know, of that nature. So it's not like Tom was airing it out, with the exception of that brief stint which he had Randy Moss, Skip. He didn't really air it out. Now, they would air it out with a couple of trick plays, gadget plays, Skip, you know, the flea flickers, or they would throw it to the receiver, and then the receiver throw it down the field. But as far as Tom dropping back and throwing the ball down the field in New England like he did at Tampa, Skip, we didn't see that, with the exception of maybe, 17, 25 games when he had Randy Moss. But, Skip, Drew, like I said, even if you take Tom at his absolute worst, if you take his 7-8 worst games that he's played over the last 3 years, he never looked like Drew did against Tampa. He never looked like Drew did in the playoffs this year, Skip. There were times that Drew, Skip, it was a struggle for Drew to throw the ball 10 yards.
Okay, but who's to say that Drew Brees couldn't take the Brady path to rejuvenation, to new challenge, new set of circumstance, change of scenery. Hey, just on guts and guile, you wouldn't want Drew Brees. If you were stuck, and so, there'll be two or three teams that will get stuck for a quarterback, and there'll be other candidates out there. It now sounds like Washington's about to part ways with Alex Smith, so he'll be on the market too. Would I rather have Drew Brees or Alex Smith? I'd take Drew Brees just because he's accomplished. he knows how to do it, and he is one of the ultimate competitors I've ever seen. He will compete. He will fight you. And if you give him a new challenge where, again, he's 42 years of age, but if he says, I got to show them they were wrong, the way Brady showed Belichick how wrong he was, man, I would take a one-year shot at a fairly low-risk salary on Drew Brees if he would do that.
Well, Skip, you have to look at, he and Brady is totally different. Brady came with 6 Super Bowls, 9 Super Bowl appearances. Although Drew has the one, so he has cachet, but not the cachet. It's almost like Tom Brady is the locker room whisperer. Is that you hear guys talk about, man, if Tom told me to walk on water, I'm like, okay, you ain't gonna, okay, I'll do that. If Tom said, you know what, man, drive my truck to the moon, okay, I'll do that.
I got it.
So, Skip, there are levels to this right now. And Tom Brady is at a level that I don't know if we've ever seen another guy leave one locker room and have the kind of cachet automatically walking in the door. Sure, there are a lot of guys that's won. Joe Montana had that at Tampa. Don't know if he had the level of talent, and maybe Joe was a little farther in decline than what Tom is, but Skip, I don't see it. I don't see it with Drew, and like I said, I don't believe Sean Payton wants that, because Sean Payton believed that if he had a more seasoned, healthier quarterback, he believed he could have beat Tampa. Because they had him on the ropes, Skip. They had a lead until Jared Cook fumbled the ball. But it wasn't because Drew Brees, Jameis threw the touchdown.
Yep. But
I just think Drew is just doing conditioning to stay physically fit.
Well, he might be. Why would you post it? I think he's trying to send a message. Don't forget about me. I could be available. No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagine for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
Led by as many as 35 points on their way to a 117-91 victory over the Warriors last night. LeBron had 19 points and sat the whole fourth quarter. LA is now 3-4 since Anthony Davis went out with a calf injury 2 weeks ago. And in that stretch, LeBron has averaged 25 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is now joining us. So, Chris, in your opinion, has LeBron helped or hurt his MVP case in AD's absence here?
I guess you can say he's hurt it slightly. So, and here's why. He lost a little bit of ground. Okay, 2 weeks ago, before AD went down, LeBron was my clear-cut favorite and many other people's clear-cut favorite. Now he's come back to the pack a little bit, but you can still make a strong argument for him being the favorite. I've got LeBron, Joel Embiid, and here's the dark horse coming strong, James Harden, as the top three candidates. Those guys are fighting it out. And what's helping LeBron or any of these guys really is that no team with a superstar leader is running away with it. Like last year you had Giannis, they played on a 70-win pace. All right, and he's got these huge numbers. So he clearly pulled away early. Remember Steph, when they won 73 games, he pulled away early, ended up being unanimous. Even LeBron, three of his four MVPs, they won 60 or more games. This year, there's nobody playing on that pace other than Utah. And while Donovan Mitchell is really good, he's not an MVP, not a strong candidate. That's a really a team-oriented group they have in Utah that's winning based on team ball. Even when I look at the top three, Embiid, Harden, LeBron, I can pick out warts in all of them. Okay, LeBron, if we include the Denver game where AD went down after only 14 minutes of play, yeah, the Lakers lost 5 of 6. Okay, that's a knock against LeBron. James Harden, obviously, the way he left Houston, which isn't even the bad part, but the fact that he quit on them the first few games, I'm really not going to hold that against him because he's playing so well. But everybody, other people, other voters might hold that against him. Let's look at Joel Embiid, who I'd like to call my front runner, but then I look and I see that Embiid, the Sixers have won. They've gone 4-4 over their last 8 games with Embiid, and he just went through a harrowing stretch. I mean, a harrowing stretch where he shot 26% from the field in 3 straight games. Twice against Toronto and once against Dallas. This is a 7-footer. A 7-footer shooting 26%? I mean, that's ridiculous.
And they lost to Cleveland.
I can't say Embiid's pulling away. It's tight. It's LeBron and Embiid and Harden's. So he lost a little ground, but he's still very, very, very much alive.
Oscar Bailey, you don't like to hear that. Chris, you heard Skip feeling. Yeah. I came back on a Monday morning just to hear that.
Skip didn't think I'd point that out.
Hey, I don't want to say anything, but they lost to Cleveland also the other night, too. You saw that, too, Chris? The Cleveland Cavaliers beat Philly.
He put up numbers,
but here's the thing. People keep saying he's played without AD, but he also played 4 games without Dennis Schroeder. And so my argument, Chris, let's take 4. We're going to say Joel Embiid, you're going to play 4 games without Tobias Harris, without Ben Simmons. James Harden, you're going to play 4 games without Kevin Durant, without Kyrie. And Yoke, you're going to play 4 games without Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray. So you're going to play 4 games without your second and third best players. What do you think their record's going to be? And so that's why I said, although LeBron didn't gain any ground, I don't believe he lost any ground for a lot of the reasons what you said. None of the other MVP candidates did anything spectacular as far as record-wise to say, okay, yeah, I'm front and center now. Take a look at me. Because as you mentioned, Joel Embiid went 6-20, shot 6-20 against somebody the other night. And the Cleveland Cavaliers beat them. So all this, and Skip going to tell you that LeBron James with this, I get that Dennis Schroeder is not the equivalent of Kyrie. He's not the equivalent of maybe some of these other teams' third best player. But what he provides on both the offensive and the defensive end, he's their best on-ball defender. Not only can he create for himself, he can create for others and take some of the burden off LeBron. Skip, if you look at it last night, Chris, and I know you've noticed it also, LeBron played exclusively off the ball. Dennis Schroeder handled all
right,
the points.
Right.
And when Caruso came in, Caruso took it over. That was a conscious effort to take LeBron off the ball to so, hey, we're going to cut down on some of these minutes. We're going to cut down. We need other guys to step up. And the only way we can ensure that they step up is to take you off the ball to make sure you don't have to create for everybody else. Mm-hmm. I like what I saw. I still have LeBron in the slight lead because none of the other MVP candidates, as you mentioned, Chris, did anything over the last 10 days to show that they've taken the mantle away from LeBron.
You guys really amuse me. You have both made me LOL with all the excuses you have made for LeBron James. If memory serves, I don't think Jenny Taft asked this question. Has Joel Embiid helped or hurt his MVP case? I don't think that was the question. I think it was, has
you.
LeBron, right? Yes.
Stay pat.
Oh, stop it. He stunk. He has stunk without AD, and don't bring me Dennis Schroeder. Again, the apologist that you are for LeBron James, it's amusing and it's baffling because now we've turned Dennis Schroeder, as I told you to start the show, into Kyrie meets Patrick Beverley. LeBron said after the game last night, oh, Dennis is one of the best on-the-ball defenders we have in this league. Well,
he didn't lie.
He didn't? How many, let's see, all-defense has Schroeder made? No, he hadn't made one all-defensive team. Patrick Beverley's made three all-defensive teams, and he's not a great point guard, but he can really defend at the highest level. So if you want to bring me Patrick Beverley, I'll accept that. But don't tell me Dennis Schroeder is like some kind of Kyrie meets Patrick Beverley. It's preposterous to me. And you are sweeping under your little carpet that you keep off to the side. LeBron has been all-time career bad from the three-point line through the middle of February. For most of the month, he's shot 25% for the month. But he had a nine-game stretch in February in which he shot 20% as a high-volume three-point shooter. And those were, it started with a 2-for-10, and then it goes 3-of-9, 1-of-4, 0-of-5, 1-of-4, 1-of-6, 1-of-8, 2-of-10, and then he caps it off with a 1-of-5 at Utah as they got blown out. It's pathetic. He has led the NBA in turnovers for much of this stretch. He's now second in turnovers to Trae Young. And I step back and say, wait a second. He lost three straight home games to Brooklyn without Kevin Durant, and then Miami, which has struggled all year, and then Washington, which came in 10-17. Really? And against Washington, he just stunk it up from start to finish. He had eight turnovers that should have been nine because he ran over Bertans late in the game. He shot 2-of-10 from three, and if we could quickly see this, he missed the free throw that would have won the game because he's the worst late-game superstar free throw shooter I have ever seen in all my career covering the NBA. And he got the and one on Russell Westbrook, and then he goes to the line, never up, never in, said my coach in high school, and he barely got it to the front of the rim. He's a horrible late-game clutch free throw shooter. So he missed that, and then he missed the three to win the game at the end of overtime against Washington. You can't beat Washington without Dennis Schroeder and AD. Again, he went backwards. He went south. His team went south. He started out 1-4 without AD, and I'm sorry, you can't defend that. You have to say that he hurt his MVP case. I don't want to talk about Embiid or Dame or James Harden, whoever you want to throw into the mix. I just know he hurt his case because we all agreed he has a chance to pull away without AD, and he did not. He went south.
Well, Skip, he didn't pull away. As we said, look, the fact that Schroeder is not Kyrie and Patrick Beverly combined, as you said, that helps LeBron. It's not like he got some all-NBA teammate to help him win these last two games. Schroeder's a solid player. He's really good. He's their third best player. That's it. And I tell you, at this stage, Skip, he is a better defender than Patrick Beverly right now.
Beverly's
not what he used to be. Beverly's rolling off reputation defensively. He's a lot of bark, not as much bite anymore. Schroeder's picking dudes up three-quarter court. He's a better defender at this point. But here's the thing, Skip, and I get you. You pointed out LeBron's struggles. Somebody's got to win the award. That's why it's fair to talk about Embiid, talk about Harden. All the other guys, Luka, Jokic, Steph, Dame, they're not winning enough. Even Giannis, they're not winning enough games. The Lakers have more wins than the Sixers. Sixers are number one in the East, but the Lakers have a better record. So somebody's going to win it. And it's an odd year where nobody's pulling away. And that's why LeBron's still right there near the top.
Chris, when you shoot, you plummeted to 69.4% from the free throw line. You're disqualified. Joel Embiid is 7 feet tall, and he's a far, far better free throw shooter than LeBron James is. You're disqualified. That's pathetic.
Wow. Hey, Chris, I want to ask you this, Chris. When you go to mark your MVP, ballot, you looking at free throw percentage. A guy won, won 60 game. The other guy won 52 game. Mm. He's like, man, but that guy that won 60 game, man, that Joker shot 55%. So I can't. Well, Shaq would have never won it. Will Chamberlain would have never won the award.
Right.
If you're talking free throw shit.
Giannis.
But you know what's good? What I find ironic? Exactly. Chris, this is what I find ironic. You remember last year when the Lakers beat the Rockets? And Skip kept talking about Daniel House. If they'd have had Daniel House, they would have beat him. Patrick Beverly is the third best guy. Now he gonna talk about Schroeder. Man, Schroeder's a bum. Schroeder's like the 17th guy on the bench. Don't do that, Skip. Schroeder is a very good at what he does because, as Chris said, he can pick you up 94 three-quarters court. He can initiate his own offense. He can create for other people. And they didn't have that. If you had told me, now, AD, look, what are their record when they got Schroeder and LeBron minus AD?
Shannon.
That was without AD and Schroeder.
Shannon, who's the best player on the planet as we speak right now? Who's the best?
The guy that's always been the best for the last decade.
Thank you. Who cares about AD or Dennis Schroeder if you have the best player on the planet? Live up.
I'm glad you said that, because your best player on the planet had to go join up with three other bad dudes. Because why didn't Kevin Durant stay in OKC if he's the best planet or best player on the planet? Shouldn't he be able to win Chris Broussard regardless of what Russ does?
No.
If you the best player on the planet?
No.
Uh-huh. Oh, now all of a sudden you can't overcome that.
And unfortunately, we haven't seen a lot of Skip's best player on the planet this season. So it's hard. It's hard
to
say
right
now.
Skip.
I don't know.
Soon enough.
He's dealing with some stuff. We don't have enough time.
No mercy.
Giannis led the Bucks down the stretch to pull out a come-from-behind win over the Clippers last night. The Greek Freak outscored the Clippers by himself, 17-10 in the final 8.5 minutes, to seal the 105-100 win. And after the game, Paul George, he wasn't happy with L.A. getting just 7 free throw attempts, saying it was a, quote, league question when asked about the disparity. So, Shannon, what's the biggest reason the Clippers lost?
Paul George keep bumping his gums. Because remember they lost to the Nets the other night. Oh, the Nets got the referees in their back pocket. Paul George does a lot of chirping when they're winning. When he's scoring 30 points, he's dropping bucket. He's talking about everybody chirping. And that set him off last year. I didn't hear him say nothing yesterday. Let me ask you a question, Skip. Are Kawhi and Paul George, are they Masons? Because they can lay bricks. Did you see what they did last night in the fourth quarter? Especially the final 4 minutes of the ball game. Over. They took every shot and bricked every last one of them. Let me look at my notes right here. Kawhi Leonard misses 4 shots in the final 2:15. He missed 3 shots in the final minute. He missed 3 in the final 10 seconds. And don't let me forget about old playoff Paul. Playoff Paul. Really? This sounds like the same team that we saw last year, Skip, meltdown in the playoffs. You remember last that game 7 in the fourth quarter? Kawhi and Paul George went 0 for 11 in the game 7 against Denver? Yep, same thing. Paul George last night, 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter. Kawhi Leonard, 0 for 4 in the fourth quarter. What happened to the most mentally tough team? Kawhi the Terminator, Pat Bev. They keep blowing. Skip, what's going on, Skip? Somebody need to tell me something. Y'all keep bumping y'all gums. You can't talk your way into a title. That's what I love about pro sports. You can't talk about it. At some point in time, you got to be about it. Bunch of brick masons.
Mm. So, you know my opinion of this. The Clippers are still better than the Lakers, but neither team has legitimate, trustable closer. Neither team has one. And yet, even though Giannis scored 17 points in the fourth quarter, if you ask me the biggest reason that the Clippers lost, Giannis's last 2 points should not have counted. If we could see this real quickly, they swung the ball, they shared the ball, it came all the way back around to Giannis at the three-point line. He takes off running with the ball. That's traveling. I know they don't call it, but this is so blatant. He runs three steps with the ball. How can you get away with that? And Paul George, to his credit, is underneath doing this like it's walking. He just ran with the ball. You have to dribble it one time from the three-point line, and he did not, and he got away with it because it's in Milwaukee, and they don't call traveling in the NBA, especially in the last minute of the game. Okay. I immediately tweeted at the end of this game.
Tell Paul George to put on a different uniform.
What's that? Say it again.
Tell Paul George to put on a different uniform. He won a referee ball game. He should be. But so why he missed those shots? Was that the referee fault also?
No. Well, he was 1 for 9 in the fourth quarter and 0 for 5 from 3. But he has been on a torrid pace because he's a career-high 46% three-point shooter. And by the way, speaking of LeBron James, Paul George is almost 89% at the free throw line. So he's way beyond LeBron from 3 and from the free throw line. The problem is, I tweeted immediately at the end of the game that they are a huge letdown disappointment at the end of the game because they still don't have a plan. They still don't run a play to get somebody an open look instead of some tentative, half-hearted, forced look. And it was Kawhi once, Paul George next time, Kawhi at the end. They were all bad looks without creating a shot. It's up to Kawhi if he's going to be the point forward. You got to attack the lane. You got to get in the lane. You got to draw the defense, kick it to Marcus Morris, who'd been hot from 3, kick it to Lou Williams, who I always said should be the closer, and he's starting to look more and more like Lou Williams. I don't need him to dribble, 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 and force up 2 3-point shots.
I blame Doc Rivers because Doc Rivers is not drawing up plays to put the guys he need. They need smarter plays. They need better plays. Remember, they got Doc Rivers up out of there. Kawhi and Paul George. I blame Trez Harrell also because Trez Harrell was a cancer in the locker room. It was him. So now the exact same thing, minus Doc, minus Trez Harrell, the exact same thing that befuddled you last year is happening again. Now, there are 2 common denominators. Your two star players are still there, and they're still doing the exact same thing. So tell me again, whose fault last year was? Whose fault is it this year? Because you got a new head coach, and you got guys out of the locker room that you're seeing with cancers.
Yet games 5, 6, and 7 against Denver last year, they couldn't even come close in those 3 games. This one, they dominated much of this game and then couldn't close the deal.
Skip, we don't do that. Unless you slow dancing or unless you throwing grenades or playing horseshoes, closeness doesn't matter. In sports, we got a very simple rule. You win or you lose. Now, which did they do, Skip?
Ask LeBron what he's been doing.
Okay, unless you're slow dancing. That was good.
No mercy.